You're listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Well, hello, Chara.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Chara, for those who haven't come across you online, tell the listeners why we're talking today.
So today we're going to talk about networking, which is something I'm extremely passionate about as a pharmacist. And I think I have hopefully kind of tapped into a need into what I'm proposing and doing here in the Chicagoland area. And hopefully maybe we'll be able to extend it. But we'll see. Right now it's just in Chicago, but, I think we've created something pretty cool when it comes to networking for PharmDs.
A lot of people these days, when they think of networking, they think of being lazy like me, of lying on the couch at night, eating my Tostitos and talking to people online. But I saw a picture and you've got this room just packed full of people, of mostly women, some men. And I'm like, I've got to talk to her because this is almost going countercultural of shifting now, because the last 15 years, we've seen a lot of service clubs and different things kind of going down because we always say people have enough social interaction online. But you're kind of taking it the other way of having it online, but also live. So how did that idea come about? And how did I get to be looking at a picture packed with, how many people were in that picture?
It was over 80.
Big crowd.
It started online. So I just kind of had this idea. I had seen something similar online, but the need that I saw, what I had seen previously online for pharmacist women didn't really connect with me. So I was like, well, you know what, if that's not connecting with me, let me go a different route. And I just created this online Facebook group called Pharmacist Women. And I literally just start inviting my friends and I'm like, hey, like, let's connect online. You invite your friends who are pharmacists. We've kind of now even opened it to pharmacy students. I'm like, let's start connecting and maybe we can keep this super professional. And this will be about us asking our questions to each other, relying on each other to, you know, to see how are you doing things at your healthcare system, maybe different from what I'm doing, or have a legal question, or, you know, what's new in the law in Illinois or wherever state you're in. And I just thought it'd be cool to connect. And I started this group probably about a year and a half ago, and I don't know, an idea kind of popped in my head that, like, so many of the women in this group are in Chicago. Why don't we get together? Why don't we get together face to face and meet each other instead of just, you know, kind of talking online? And I partnered with one of my drug reps who I'm, friends with. And we were like, let's do the topic of endometriosis. That's a female disease state. She's like, I'll bring in an OB-GYN to talk to you guys. And she's like, you post the invite and I'll take the RSVPs for you guys and we'll just see what happens. And I mean, I thought maybe 20, if that would come. I you know, really had very low expectations about who or how many people would come. And I came that night to the program and I was like shocked that 50 pharmacists came. And it was just our very first meeting in February of 2019. It was crazy.
Did you feel that you had to put a reason for it with a speaker? Did you at any point say, we're strictly going to network? What was your decision on that, of having a program versus not having a program?
So I think I was thinking to keep it free and to include dinner. And I thought maybe, I was like, so if we want to keep it free and we want to include dinner, then we need pharma to sponsor it through their proper channels that they have to do to sponsor it, which includes education and having a speaker. But of course, it's not connected to CE because it is a sales, you know, it's through their sales team.
I gotcha.
So that's how that piece came about. I'm like, well, let's let the hook be a good restaurant and a good meal and you don't have to pay for anything.
Gotcha.
and we'll see what happens.
And was the most recent one that way too, with the pharma involved and so on?
Yeah, so weird, because so part of my role at my organization is I have to meet with pharma quite often. I talk to MSLs, I talk with field reimbursement managers, I talk with sales reps, because when you're in the area of specialty pharmacy, it's constantly changing, particularly in oncology. So we always have to keep up with, you know, what's going on. So I kind of had a pretty large Rolodex of people that I could call and ask to sponsor the dinners. And so we just decided, or I just decided, I'm not sure why I'm saying we, I decided to do this month.
You got to say we in case you have to blame it on someone later.
To blame someone else. and so I created a spreadsheet in Excel and I was like, okay, first month endometriosis, we're going to do this February. And then I put the months out for the year. And as I would see people, I would kind of pitch the idea. And to my rep, who was my rep for the endometriosis product, what was in it for her was that she was going to get access to pharmacists that she can't just walk in the door, you know, and right. get access to. So right. When I was explaining that to some of the other people who are in pharma, they were like, holy cow, like this is a genius. This is a great idea. Cause you're right. We struggle to get people to come to our drug dinners. And if you can bring the group and we just have to provide dinner and the speaker, and then we get to talk, you know, to these pharmacists who are here in the room, then this is kind of a win-win for everybody.
All right. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Somebody says, oh, another dinner, another drug rep, another somebody trying to get us seeing the benefits of their product and so on. I wish that Chara would just have an event to say, we're just there to meet each other and to talk. Do you see that competing? I mean, maybe you would only have five people show up in that regard if you don't have free meal and so on. Do you see, and I'm not saying it is, I'm playing the devil's advocate. Do you see it being watered down at all by combining a product or drug rep with it still?
I could see where you're coming from, but I think I could see that. So because of that, I typically ask for unbranded talks.
I gotcha.
So that kind of a lot of times steers us away from kind of having a product shoved down your throat. But
yeah.
I think the
right.
other thing is we are all pharmacists. And so usually my ask now is to make it unbranded. However, they don't always want that. You know, they want to talk about their product, which is okay. And I think as a PharmD, I mean, we're not prescribers. There are some of us that do some prescribing
sure.
in our practices.
Sure.
But for the most part, we're not. And so it really is about being educated on what's going on out there. And the other thing is if we can, we get a PharmD speaker. Not always possible, but we do
gotcha.
A lot of times have a pharmacist who's a speaker. And if you don't have a pharmacist, a lot of times they're bringing in a physician who really is well-known or would be a great person to kind of pick their brain on these disease states and these products. And typically, after the program's closed out, you really can, if you want to go off topic with a provider, you can. And talk to them, real talk. Like, okay, if I have this patient, like, what do you think? So there is some... you know, perk to having some of these experts come in and talk to our group. But I will say that regardless of what the topic is, the most important thing, and I think the thing that I probably didn't emphasize the first couple of months, but I think
yeah.
after probably about month three, I was like, look, this is about networking. Yes, we're going to take 30 minutes to be educated about some topic or some product.
Right.
But what I really need you guys to do is stop sitting with your friends. You already know what your friends do. You need to
yes.
sit with people that you don't know and get to know the other ladies at the table.
So you can sort of combine those, and maybe someday in the future, as you start to raise that up, first you want to sometimes get the numbers. You can stress more or less of that depending upon, you know, what the numbers are doing. But that's cool.
And it was really my goal, and I kind of led by example, because I think what happens is we just get comfortable and we just want to sit with our girlfriends and we want to catch up, and which there's nothing wrong with that. But the point is that we are in a room of anywhere from 25 now to 80 people who are pharmacists or pharmacy students who are doing really phenomenal, amazing things. Like, we would be crazy not to spend our time to try to get to know who these people are face to face. And I'm sorry, you can LinkedIn all day long, but I can't refer you into a job if I actually don't even actually know you or know what you look like.
Yeah, because on LinkedIn, you'll see somebody and you'll say, wait, that's the same person? And then you'll say, yeah, I guess I can see that. I guess that photo kind of matches them and so on. But you make these ideas up in your head.
Yeah. And the thing is that I have people reach out to me on LinkedIn, you know, every day, all the time. And they'll be like, hey, you know, I see you work for this company or you've worked for this company, and would you refer me in? And sometimes it's just hard to do that because I you're a random person. And I have a reputation, you know, and so you don't want to just, you know, refer anybody and you don't actually know the person, you know? So I think sometimes it's a little bit difficult to kind of make, I certainly don't mind making connections for people. I'll connect them like, right. Oh, hey, I can connect you, but I can't necessarily refer you into a position if I don't know you.
I got a reputation too, but I think when you referred to your reputation, you were talking about having a good one.
Right. A hardworking, good one. And I don't want to mess that up.
Here's what I want to complain about to you, all right? You've got a profession that's 2/3 women, and women have had their struggles in history, just like men have, I suppose, different struggles and so on. But right now, I would say women are doing pretty much okay in pharmacy. Why are there all these women support groups and nothing for us men? And now listen, before you answer that, don't give me that answer like, well, some of the guys could come to this and so on. It's like, no, but this is called women in pharmacy. Why are you leaving us poor men out of this?
You know, I actually am not sorry that I'm leaving you guys out, but I will say this. I'm not going to apologize. I'm trying apologizing for things that I'm really not sorry about. So here's the thing. You're right. The world of pharmacy has for sure changed. The classes are now becoming mostly female. And I think for sure it's shifting. But what hasn't shifted is leadership.
Oh, right.
So if you look at the leadership structure in most organizations and where pharmacists men actually have gotten in their careers, we have not gotten there yet. And it's unfortunate because the leadership should be a representation of the people who are what I call the worker bees, you know, us kind of at the bottom. We're the worker bees, but we're not represented in leadership in the same proportion that we are in the workforce.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. So, Chara, you had some individual goals going into this, and one was meeting people face to face. Now, at what size does this get that you say, this is defeating my own personal purpose of meeting more people? For example, let's say that you're having this event and 5,000 women show up. In theory, it kind of almost starts to become like LinkedIn, right? Where you've got all these connections, but with 5,000 people, you sort of have to spread yourself out because you're the leader, so you need to connect and so on. When does that feel too big for you, or does it ever? And you're probably always able to go off and have your social group be the administrators of the larger group, but when does this get too big, if ever?
You know, I don't know. I will tell you that the room of 80 was probably too big for me personally, because being the organizer, and it's weird for me because I don't see myself as a person that's doing anything amazing or anything so unique, but people want to talk to me, which is I'm very just surprised, you know, when it comes to that. So it actually was very difficult for me to talk to. I had, like several people at a time waiting to kind of get in. And I mean, they were very gracious, and even just like, hey, we want to thank you for providing this forum for us. It was a lot. At 5,000, I mean, obviously I can't talk to 5,000 people individually, you know, in a day, but I mean, I can't even imagine 5,000. Like, I mean, I think that would be amazing. And the point, and this is actually one of the other reasons and one of the other points that I want to bring up, is that because I am contacted on LinkedIn so often about my role, my job, do I have a job? I was like, this came out of that. And I said, you know, I personally cannot help everybody. I don't have enough roles, pharmacist roles in my position to help all of the number of people that, you know, want unique positions. I don't have that. But what I can provide for you is a forum to meet other people that have that, or perhaps you have it and you're looking, you know, for, you know, someone to hire. So that was really the purpose. It's the purpose is bigger than me. It's not about meeting me or talking to me. I don't have that many positions, you know, open at a time. The purpose is to, there are female pharmacists doing far more amazing things than me. Go meet them too.
You've given them that opportunity to do that.
Absolutely.
I never had people looking to me for a job. I've always thought it's because they know we don't have so many jobs at my independent pharmacy, but I think it's getting to the point where it might be personal. They just don't want to work with me.
Are you a bad boss, Mike?
I don't know. I what I started to do is, I think if I can be more forthright and honest with people, that makes me a better boss, because I've always kind of held back a bit, thinking that that was going to maybe create some peace or motivation or something. But I think if I could have done things over, I would have been more honest and forthright along the way and let people decide maybe earlier in their career, at least here, whether I was the right fit for them or not. Not everybody's going to be, of course, you know?
Absolutely. That's so true.
When you have these women then show up, do you then use any tools of the trade? Do you suggest that they bring their business cards? Do you teach them how to network at all? Or is it like, hey, I've done my job by putting all you ladies in a room. Now it's your responsibility.
Well, you know, I don't. So I don't guide them or direct them to bring their business cards or bring their resumes. And that's on purpose. The point of this networking event is to create relationships. So to me, it comes off very disingenuous sometimes if you're like, hey, here's my resume. Can you hire me?
Right.
You know, the point is to let's organically, naturally connect. I mean, friendships have been formed. People have gotten jobs by meeting people, you know, out of the group. But it's, you know, it's not this formalized, like, speed dating, let's meet, you know, and
exactly.
See if you're a fit for my company kind of thing.
When do you decide with this group? When do you have the breakoff group, like, we're going canoeing?
I don't know.
Or is it always going to stay like, or is it always going to stay, you have to have a canoe party, you know? Or is it always going to stay like, is it always going to be like this formal?
You know, I don't know. Like, it's weird that this thing has happened to me. It's weird, you know. Now I'm like, okay, do I create a website? Do I make it a 501(c)? Like, what do I do with this thing, you know? And then people contacting me like, I wish this was in Dallas, and I wish we had this in Atlanta, and I wish we had this, you know, in all these other places. And now I'm like, holy cow, is this like a thing that I need to like pursue on a bigger scale? Because I never really considered myself a business person in that sense, or I just never even thought that this thing would happen the way it did.
You don't consider yourself that, but I know that you run six clinics and you're doing this and you're doing that. So you've got a ton of stuff already going.
That's true. I speak for like six drug companies, and I'm all over the
Right.
place already, you know, as it is. So, you know, I honestly don't, for myself, don't really know what my future holds. But I will say the cool thing is that I think everything I've kind of gotten an opportunity to do was just like this group came out of like, well, this other thing doesn't really fit me, so like let me try to do my own thing. And so I kind
Right.
of, you know, that's how it came about.
All right, Chara. So what holes are you filling? Because I'm gonna go back to the devil's advocate. Chara, there are drug reps that already are trying to get groups together. There's the Illinois State Pharmacy Association. What county are you in?
DuPage.
All right, there's the DuPage County Pharmacists Association and
There
so on.
is. That exists.
What hole do you think you're filling that they're not? Do you think it's the woman angle?
I don't know. You know, that's the crazy thing about it is that I didn't know that I was fulfilling a need of anything besides, I can't give you guys all jobs. Like, let's try to get some other people in the room who maybe, you know, need people. I didn't realize really what this was until people kept telling me. So people kept coming up to me and said, I can't believe no one else thought of this. You know, this has been so much fun. And I think the other thing is if you have ever been to a conference, so you pick it. I don't want to name any, but you name your favorite
Right.
conference,
Right.
pharmacist-driven conference. People don't want to talk to you. You'll sit down at a
They
table.
don't talk. They don't talk
They
at
don't
all.
talk. And you're just like pulling teeth to get the person next to you just to tell you like where they work, what they do. Like, no one wants to talk to you. And so the fact that I think I went into this, obviously being I'm an extrovert. Clearly, it's probably obvious, but I went in not even, you know, I went in with the purpose of you need to connect with other people. Like, that's why we're here. You're not just here to talk to your girlfriends. I mean, if that's what you want to do, great, but then you're missing out on the reason that we're getting together. And I think having set that as a precedence, and then even me taking my own advice and not sitting with my friends and sitting with people that I don't know and purposely talking to women that are doing other things, I think that's what's different.
Chara, I think that's a pretty big assumption on your part to say that girlfriends get together and like to talk a lot. I've never seen
You're
that
killing me,
before.
Mike. You're killing me.
I've never seen that before. Why? It doesn't seem that you should make that assumption on behalf of all women.
Well, you know what? Let me just tell you this. I get paid a lot of money to fly across the country to speak for all different sorts of things, and even my own husband cannot believe someone pays me to talk.
It's true what you say about you don't always know. A lot of times you just have to get out in front, and people will come to you and tell you what their needs are. For example, with the podcast here, it's maybe not very well known, but there's not a lot of listener interaction with the podcast host, because if you think about it, when you listen to a podcast, there's not a lot of places like comments, because people can listen across the board, right, on a dozen different podcast apps. There's not really a good way to then respond to someone like there would be on a maybe a blog or different social media posts or YouTube even, and so on. But occasionally, though, you just get the people that will pick you out through social media and just tell you some things. And then once two or three maybe repeat that same message, you say, okay, I've been out leading here, and now I understand more of my mission from listening to who's giving that back to us.
Totally. I totally agree with that. I think there's probably a lot of people that, you know, go into something not really knowing if it's going to be successful or knowing if people are going to, you know, if it's going to be a thing for a month or two and fizzles out. Like you just don't know. And so that's why I think it's so surprising to me when the rep called me before last week's program freaking out, like, oh my gosh, do I have like 90 RSVPs? And I mean, because I told her 40 people.
Yeah,
we didn't know we were gonna like double that. So I mean, that's the part that I think is so surprising. And I think I say it almost at every program, like the people who come are what makes this thing great. It's not me. It's the people who come. Right. I'm just the coordinator. That's all. I'm the coordinator. Yeah. But these ladies that come out month after month and then invite their friends. And I had one girl say on LinkedIn, she's like, I don't know how old she is, probably in her 30s or early 40s, and she's a mom and has kids. And she said she used to love to go to the club when she was younger. And she's like, I used to love to go to the club. It was so much fun. And she's like, I kind of equate your dinner program like going to the club, but without coming out smelling like smoke and my ears ringing because the music was so loud.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and I think part of the, I'm just guessing this, I think part of the challenge of this, total guess, is that if you were to take this, let's say all of a sudden that this went crazy and all of a sudden you needed more help and you had to get more official and so on, sometimes that can play tug of war with the nature of the group. And what I mean by that is part of the appeal of this group is probably because it's not part of a, maybe, let's just say, it's not part of a state or federal association. It's not part of something that's already has a lot of boundaries and red tape and so on, that it is just, it seems more social and more like pop up. As soon as, let's say, all of a sudden you had millions of dollars and the CEO comes in and this and this and this, pretty soon it almost starts looking so structured that the next person like you is going to come by and say, let's do something unstructured. I think people like that, you know?
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. And that's why I said I'm kind of just riding the wave. I don't really know where this is going to take me, because I would hate to lose the spirit that we have right now. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you come away, people call me or email me the next day and they're like, this one girl called me. She's like, oh my gosh, that last night was just so good for my spirit. It was so good for my soul. I had such a good time. And I'm like, what do I do with that? Like, that's insane. You know, I don't know, because I certainly don't want to lose that, you know.
Years ago, and this is like 15, 20 years ago, the real big thing was always like mission statement, vision statement. I mean, you couldn't turn around without hearing about mission statement and vision statement. But there is a beauty to that, because like our county pharmacy association, we were always trying to say why we were together. And finally, I don't know if we ever approved this like with the state or anything, but we finally said our group, one of the like main things was to socialize You know, that was it. It was like to socialize. And I think that we're always tempted with our mission and vision statements to make it sound like it's something more noble. But like in your case, I would think, well, first of all, before I get my hand slapped, have you set that time up to say, here's our mission and vision statement?
No, I haven't done anything, you know, in that regard, you know, at all. I haven't, you know, that's why I said, I don't know where this is going to lead me. I haven't thought about it as deeply as maybe I should.
Here's my advice to you, Chara. My advice is, if you get around to that, or just in your head, what the purpose is, that you don't try to get too fluffy with it and say that it is a way to improve your knowledge and keep updated on this and this and that. Because the way I see it is that if you were able to attract the same amount of people and get a free dinner, you know, which is always nice, and focused on pharmacy somehow, if you were able to do that by, like, having a, you know, bingo or something like that. I'm being facetious, but you know what I mean? It's like the purpose of your thing is to be social, and you don't have to make any apologies about that. And the professional stuff that comes there, it's not necessarily part of your mission necessarily. It's really just a means to get to your mission. You know what I mean?
No, I think that's great advice. I mean, I didn't think about it.
People try to be too fancy.
No, I think that's awesome. That is actually really good advice, because I think that's what makes it such a good time, is that it's not anything like, we're not trying to save the world. You know, we really are having a good time. And I think you could probably see that if you saw the video or see the pictures. I mean, it truly is to connect, to make real connections, because
yeah,
you just, that I can't stress that enough for pharmacists, like, to connect with people, and don't be fake and don't be phony. Like,
right.
People don't want you running in with their resume and their business card in your face.
Right. And don't make any apologies about that.
No, I think that's great.
The main thing is truly face-to-face networking.
Without the context or the pretext in your mind that I want to get something out of this. It's not about getting something out of this. You know,
yeah.
I think when you naturally and organically network with people, those things come later. You know, you've gotten to know somebody, you've gotten to know what they do. You can connect on whatever other level it is, you know, that of common denominator that there is, that, you know, that you like to do or talk about, you know, your kids or your pets or your, I don't want to have kids, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, there's other things that you can connect on, but it's not trying to, like, get something out of somebody, because that comes off as really fake.
You and I hold a lot in common in that I, right now, just like you, I've got my own source of income. I wish it was higher, but I've got it in the pharmacy that I own. So my goal right now, and I've been talking to some people about this, but my goal with the podcast, I've got some deeper goals that someday may come out. But for the first year, my goal is simply to give. And I enjoy it. So it's not like I'm begrudgingly giving or feel like noble for doing this. I enjoy it. But it's just to give. Well, let me put it this way. It's not to take anything. If anything, it's neutral or it's giving, but it's not to take anything, because you see it all the time on LinkedIn. People connect with you and then either 3 minutes later or 3 hours later or something, they want something. And so I think in this day of mistrust that is all around us, that I'm committing to a year of this. I'll probably eat my words and come out and beg for something in a you know, week. But right now on my podcast, I don't ask for anything. I don't try to promote anything. I don't tell people to share my podcast. I don't tell people to listen in and so on, or that it's the best or this or that. My goal right now is just to be interesting and entertaining. Arguably, I'm not even close to either of those, but at least I'm not, you know, I'm not pushing anything. And I think that's where you are right now. It's like, let's give this some time. See where it goes and just see what comes from it. And someday you can do more with it, but let's not give people a chance to feel like they have to hold on to their wallet at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think I definitely went into it with the idea of, for now, like, I really wanted this to be free. I didn't want anyone to have to pay anything to network. I think pharmacists are tugged on so many different directions with different organizations that do require, to be a member and to pay to be a member. There's lots of great organizations and you can get a lot out of those organizations. And so I definitely went in with the purpose right now of like, let's just keep this free. Let's keep it, no strings right. attached, and let's just see what happens. I honestly didn't know it'd be as popular as it was, but I still, I think as pharmacists, we're used to doing everything for free, right? That's what we do. We talk right. to people for free, And so, I mean, and I think, there's something about something in us sometimes that likes to just, do it all for free and don't charge anybody. But, I think in this forum, I'm definitely keeping it free. I think I have changed my mentality some by listening to some other people. I've kind of changed my mentality about always doing things for free. So I do advisory boards and all these other things, but pharma needs to pay me. Like, they need to pay me for the advice that I'm giving.
At some point, whatever direction the good Lord has put you in, at some point, one of the things you're doing has to be income coming in. Now, if you want to do some things in another way without that, that's everybody's prerogative to do that. But there's got to be some way for money to be coming in.
Yeah. I mean, especially if this ends up probably growing, obviously it would, there's some, like, we would have to figure something out. I don't know if that's, that we get sponsorship, there's lots of different ways to do organizations, and I'm kind of looking at all of those different things, but yeah, for now I don't want people to feel like they have to pay to get value out of this. The point right now, it is what it is. It's the only thing you have to do is you got to sit down and listen to the lecture the drug company is sponsoring,
Because you started this, you always probably had in your system, like, okay, it's good to know other people. It's good to have connections and so on. What are some personal ways that you have felt that you have networked well, maybe above the average connections?
So two things. So I'll tell you the thing I did most recently to kind of stretch myself and put my money where my mouth is. So I joined an organization that is for healthcare executives. So it is for people who, there's all sorts of different backgrounds and roles. There certainly, I think, the networking event I went to, I was the only pharmacist there. And I did that on purpose. So they had a networking event. You did have to pay for it. So I did pay I think it was like $50 to go. I didn't really know what to expect, but I did know that the CEO of one of the big hospitals in the area was speaking. And I was like, well, I'm in healthcare and I'm in administration. I think it'd be good for me to put myself out there, go to a program with no expectation that I'm going to know anybody there. And I'm just going to get to know people who are in healthcare and other roles. So I did that recently. And it was great. It was cool. And I actually, from that encounter, I actually joined the networking committee for that organization. So I'll be doing some more things in that realm, because I think I've got it down, locked down here on networking with pharmacists. I think I need to stretch myself and network with other healthcare executives and other healthcare professionals, and just see where that leads. And then the other thing that I do really well is a lot of what I do on a day-to-day basis does involve industry and pharma and understanding what they have to offer. I think I've sort of become the industry advocate for PharmDs. And I'm passionate about the fact that I have sat through all these drug dinners, and to me, it's kind of ridiculous that I can bring together a group of all pharmacists and I'm speaking to these companies and they don't have a PharmD speaker. To me, is just like mind-blowing.
Right.
I'm like, you guys are again leaving us outside. You're not giving us a seat at the table. You can't create education for healthcare professionals and don't consider the pharmacist, you know? So
yeah, right.
That's been kind of my mission lately, is that whenever I get a chance to talk to pharma or talk to directors or executives, even VPs that, you know, I come across, I make sure to kind of drive that home, which, you know, it's funny because a lot of the companies are like, yeah, you're right. We don't have PharmD speakers. So do you want the job? You know, so I get a lot of, you know, just because I think I'm so passionate about advocating for pharmacists. And I think the second layer of networking is to be an advocate of yourself. I mean, I did it to you. I was like, hey, you're talking about your podcast. You haven't had me on. Like, we need to talk.
You said, where's my picture on that thing? And I was going to be like, you know, just give me your damn picture and I'll put it up there. No one says you had to do the show, but I'm like, all right, well now Chara's already, she's already had the vision of her talking to me, and I'll be damned if I'm going to ruin that vision for her. So I had to call you up and get you on here.
And that's the thing, is that sometimes you just have to unashamedly advocate, whatever that word is, advocate for yourself. And I think that has been my like second thing that I think I'm getting better at.
Yeah.
Is like, look, like I'm doing really cool things here and people need to hear about, you know, what I'm doing. And so, and because of that, like you got to advocate for yourself. So I do that all the time with pharma. And it's so funny because you'll be sitting in a room of like marketing, you know, executives, and they just are like listening to your every word, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we haven't thought about this yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, yeah, you got to have education that targets pharmacists. We don't want to sit, I mean, granted, we love our doctors and we love our nurses,
right?
But we want to listen to pharmacists and we want to learn about this product or this disease state from someone who understands what we do for a living.
I'm a believer in this. I think that if you join a group, to truly join a group, you really don't get the most networking out of it unless you join one of the committees.
Yeah, you know, I think that I don't know if I'm like just naturally, I don't know if it's, I'm a firstborn type A, you know, I don't know what it is. But when I connect with an organization, I really believe in what they're doing.
Yeah.
Automatically, I'm like, I need to be on a committee.
Yeah.
Like that's literally the very first thing that I volunteer myself from. And that's what I'm talking about, though. That's why you got to put yourself out there. So it's not just, you know, connecting. This is great. You know, we're networking with other women, but like you have to put yourself out there. You have to advocate for yourself. You got to do some extra work. It's not easy to like, you know, on these committees, it's not like you're getting paid, you know, to do these things. You're doing it for your career. And if you're serious about your career and you're serious about doing these other things, then you do have to put in the work. And I think that's one of the things that I do is I join committees, I do the work, I get on the conference calls, I do my part, presentation part, if that's what they need.
Right.
When they ask me, and those things actually lead to speaking, you know, at the conference. I'm going to a conference in a few weeks and they're like, hey, we need someone to speak on this and this. And so I'm doing a couple speaking sessions for this other particular conference.
And joining those committees, it's easier than it used to be, because someone, you'll join a committee and they'll say, we need to have so many people volunteering for this, or we need to find out what people think on this and so on. And it's not the days of old with phone calls and trying to, you know, play catch up and things. There's enough programs out there of volunteer scheduling programs and all that stuff. It's really typically the things that you get tasked with in these organizations are not that tough to do. And I put my money where my mouth is. So in the neighborhood association, I've been the vice president of the neighborhood association, the president of our Kent County Pharmacy Association, on the marketing committee at the State of Michigan Pharmacy Association, not all at once, but the head of the president of the school board and so on, is that it's not all that tough, and you just get so much out of it. And it's really when you're working together, it seems, where you bond with people more, when you're working together more than just being together or knowing of each other.
Yeah, I mean, that is so true. And that's the thing, is that I'm, you know, president of the Alumni Council. So when I go to alumni meetings, we're, you know, talking about different things. And from that work encounter, I can refer you, you know,
yeah,
to
exactly.
a job, because I'm like, hey, this person works so hard on this, or, you know, I've spent some time with them. So it's a much easier sell to be like, hey, I'll put my name behind you. I'll email them and I'll let them know about you. And believe it or not, even that has worked. You know, I've referred someone in who I actually never worked with at a traditional job, but we're on the alumni council together.
The only place that working for me has not resulted in having more involvement or a higher say has been at my home, because it's, you know, it's my wife, then my dog, then my five daughters, then my five sons, and then dad. I get the last say. I get the last say and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I get the last say and stuff. And it's like, I just worked all day. And it's like, well, you know, you get the burnt, you get the last burnt piece of this or something like that. It's fair enough, though.
I know. I'm the least most important person at home.
They call that servant leadership or something like that. I haven't figured it out, but at least that's what I tell myself.
No, that is so funny. It's so true. There's nothing more humbling from, you know, this day where everyone's telling you how fantastic you are,
yeah,
then going home and like your kid hasn't done their homework and lunches aren't made.
Exactly.
And the house is a disaster.
Exactly.
That it's like,
yeah,
okay, well, I'm not actually that important.
And this is something you could talk about forever, where you get, let's say, I won't name any names because we could all fall into this, where you get these Hollywood stars who are saving the world, you know, but they're on their fifth divorce and they're, you know, this and that. And so sometimes it's easier to do things like the good Lord says. He says a prophet is not accepted in his hometown or something like that. And it's like, yeah, I know that when I walk inside the home and no one says hi to you.
I tell my kids that. I'm like, you know, your mother is actually a really important person. I know you don't actually, I know you don't know that right now.
Yeah, okay, Mom, could you go downstairs in the basement and reset the modem?
Yes, it's so true.
When we talk about pharmacists not being real social sometimes, is that the chicken or the egg? Do you think that pharmacy has maybe attracted this? There's a lot of stereotypical industries, you know, let's say accountants or engineers, things like that. Do you see it more in pharmacy than other places of people not socializing? And why is that if you do?
You know, I don't know if it's pharmacy driven. I think it's just the culture. Like we don't have to socialize, right? You can
we don't
meet
have
a whole
to.
Online group of friends, you know, that you're tight with that you never met. And that's just the way that the things are now, is that we don't always have to connect in person. And I think that's the beauty of, you know, what we're doing, is that I honestly don't care how great of a relationship you have online with someone, that does not, that just doesn't take the place of getting to meet people in person, because you could portray yourself any sort of a way, you know, online.
And I do.
And so, and then if you, but then you're like, wait a minute, I know you, and your husband's a jerk. So I, that's really shocking that you're constantly posting about how amazing he is.
Yeah. So. Well, you see that with these, some of these family suicide murders, you know, they're posting all this beautiful stuff. And then 3 days later, mm-hmm. you know, the whole family gets wiped out, usually by a jerk of a husband who, you know, decided not just to yep. take himself, but wipe out his family with it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What advice would you give people in general that people maybe could do in their daily life, whether it's social or whether it's in person, to at least pretend to be networking?
Don't look at the person who's doing all these crazy, you know, amazing things that you're seeing and be like, hey, I want to do that too, if you're not willing to do the work. So none of us got to the positions that we're in overnight, right? It is years of, you know, work and connecting and forming relationships. So yeah. I get messages all the time, like, how did you get to speak for all these companies? Like, I want to do that too, which is great. I think it's great. Like, and I'll tell you what I did, but part of what I did was I spent 3 years talking to pharma about having PharmD speakers. So it's not like it didn't happen overnight, you know? So you do have to be patient.
Put in the work,
be patient. Put yourself out there, and there's a million different ways to do it. There's so many different ways and so many different things you can get involved in that are pharmacist associated or business associated or whatever it is your thing is. Put yourself out there. And I think you'll be surprised at what can come your way from putting in the work.
There are no overnight successes in the world of networking at all. You'll have to take my word for it that I'm not a bodybuilder and I don't have a Instagram.
Are you sure?
I build it, but it's not muscle. Don't feel bad if people are rising through social network because of their looks, because looks are not going to be the person that can go up and use some of the how to win friends and influence people traits of talking to people and asking questions about their life and their family and, you know, those kind of things. And so for all of those that were not blessed maybe with the social media presence, has nothing to do with your real life networking that you can do.
Absolutely. Nothing takes place of a face-to-face connection. And I think, I mean, I would love to like have a charge to these other very well-established pharmacist organizations to encourage people to talk to each other. It's the perfect forum. And the fact that everyone just like walks around in their own little world and it's just not encouraged to like to meet all the people, you know, sitting at your table, like don't just sit there. And I know I'm not the only one that's experienced that, or you do start to talk to someone and it's like one word answers and you're like, oh, okay. So they don't want to talk to me.
Someone told me on the earlier podcast, they said, try to get to a different convention, you know, or show other than pharmacy, like either a podcast or, you know, business or technology or something. And they'll say it's like night and day between the interaction. You know, some of it's from the nature of a pharmacist being usually fairly precise in their thinking and a lot of structured thinking. Part of it is the current financial stresses on the industry, of especially in community pharmacy, where people don't have maybe a lot of positive outlooks on things and so on. So it can be a struggle at those, but on the other hand, if you do stick out a little bit, it's like more power to you, because you're like a, you know, big fish in a small pond or a rose among thorns, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's so sad that we would be at someplace and don't get to know each other. It just,
right.
I mean, and you're right, you know, and I love multidisciplinary organizations. You know, I'm part of some, you know, an oncology multidisciplinary organization, and some of my best friends or acquaintances or whatever you want to call them,
right.
like we're excited to see each other twice a year, are not pharmacists. You know, there are other healthcare professionals. And so
yeah.
it's just to not limit yourself. I think, you know, I don't know how I made those steps, because I certainly didn't have anyone guiding me to, you know, any one particular thing. I just kind of stumbled my way through. And that's why I'm like right now, like, I didn't have someone talking to me when I was a P3 or P4 saying, like, you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to put yourself out there. You need to. I didn't have anyone telling me those things. And so,
yeah.
you know, now that I kind of have this platform, I'm so vocal about the fact that don't look at my LinkedIn profile or CV and be like, holy cow, like, she's so special. I'm not that special. I'm the same as everyone else. It's just that I have done some work. You know, to
You've done the work.
You know, to get to some of the, you know, I've done a lot of work, you know, and I'm grateful and blessed, and, you know, in a sense that,
yeah.
you know, that I've been given these really cool, you know, opportunities. But just because of that, like, there was work involved. It wasn't
yeah.
Nothing just landed in my lap.
The only group that you would like to have see that the opposite way is if your kids happen to come across it. Your LinkedIn, you're like, you're damn right I did that. And if you're not impressed enough, I'll show you pictures. Let's go over to Facebook and I'll show you even these cheesy awards I've won if you want me to. I'm special.
I'm telling you, no one, and I have 4 kids, so I'm hats off to you with 10. Like, no one in my house gives a care of what I get up in the morning and walk out the door to do, including
yeah.
my husband. He's just like, did you bring me home dessert? <You know? laughs> So, like, nobody really cares.
It's payback for us knowing our parents were our servants, you know, so it's payback.
It's so much payback.
It's payback.
It is. It's a lot of payback.
If you had the choice right now, and you were coming out of high school, one, would you still pick pharmacy? Two, if not, if someone said you can't do pharmacy, what would it be?
I think I would still, well, I didn't pick pharmacy out of high school, but I think if I had to do it all over again, I think I would still do pharmacy. But if I couldn't do pharmacy, then I think I would have done medicine. Because I think I just would have been good at it. I know I would have been a good physician.
What'd you do out of high school?
I was a teacher. I went in early childhood education was my major.
Really?
So I fulfilled that by having a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And now I teach all over the country. So I kind of, it has come full circle.
How long was it before you realized you hated other people's kids?
Not long. I changed my major.
Did you teach for a while?
I didn't actually, I changed my major after about 2 years. I changed it to pre-pharmacy.
Gotcha.
And the reason I changed my major is because I was working at Walgreens at the tender age of 16.
Wow.
When I was in high school, and they would always need help in the pharmacy. So I would always help out.
Wow.
And so a couple years in, I was like, hey, you know, I think too, the pharmacist kind of convinced me.
Yeah.
I think back then, because I'm a lot older than I look. Like, I started at Walgreens in the early 90s. So this pharmacist that I work with was super cool. I'll never forget her. Shout out to Nina, who convinced me to change my major to pre-pharmacy. And one of the biggest things she told me is, she's like, you're going to make a lot of money and you'll
yeah.
get to travel, because she traveled all the time. And I was like, that's, you know, maybe that's what I want to do. I education doesn't always, you know, it's not always the money grabber career. And yeah, I was like, you know, I think I like this. I like working in the pharmacy. And of course, who doesn't want to make a lot of money? Which actually is not a lot of money when you're an adult. It's really
yeah.
not a lot of money.
was that a good choice to choose pharmacy?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it was like it was booming back then, the field of pharmacy. I mean, when I graduated in 2004. I mean, there was all the overtime you could get. There were the sign-on bonuses. I mean, you could write your ticket.
All right, now this is a tough question. Right now, in 2020, let's say you're coming out of high school. What would your choice have been now?
You know, I don't know. I think I am not jaded against the profession, and maybe that's just because of, you know, what I get to do. I think it's cool.
Right.
But so I'm not probably as jaded as maybe other people.
Sure.
But I don't think you go into it to make a lot of money, because
no.
I think the money's just is average.
Right.
So if you really want to make a lot of money, I don't know, go into pharma or
yeah, right.
something like that. Go into business. You know, if you want to make a lot of money, that the money's it's not bad. You know, don't get me wrong, but it's not like rolling in the dough
yeah.
when you have a family. So I don't know. I still like the career path that I have, but I mean, I think had I not gotten to do different things, I don't know. Maybe my advice would be to do something different. You know, I don't know.
You've used the career enough to go in all the different directions you were able to go.
Right. And that's the cool thing about pharmacy is that you really, if you do some digging, you really can do almost anything with a PharmD degree. You really can.
100%. You mentioned medicine, but let's say that somebody said to you, you could not go into anything medical. What direction would you go? Nothing medical.
I think I would be like an event planner, something like that. Because I like to like plan things, and I like people to have a good time, and I throw my kids insane, over the top, crazy birthday parties. I think I'm good at that.
Nice.
I think that's what I would do. I'd be like a wedding planner, birthday kid birthday party planner, something crazy like that. That's just like fun.
What would you do right now if you were listening to this and you thought, that lady is really cool. I'd like to reach out to her and be maybe one of the more influential people in the next week or 10 days that she's going to hear from. What would you recommend somebody do? And what would you recommend is too far? I mean, for example, you know, we don't want them coming to your house as a singing telegram or something like that.
Actually, if you come to house, I'll put you to work. So if anyone out there is listening really wants to meet me, I'll give you, email me, I'll give you my address.
But what would be an example? And here's the thing. I know that maybe, you know, let's say 10 people are going to reach out on LinkedIn. Hey, it was cool hearing you, this and that, you know, and connected. All right, well, that's 10, but it's not one of the 10. What could somebody do? We're saying this is just a practice in networking. What could they do to have them be the main person that's standing out over the next 10 days?
I don't know. Like I think I always, I mean, I try to be gracious, you know, with my time. And so when people do reach out on LinkedIn, I usually give them my email address, and I tell them, well, they usually have a reason or something they want to, you know, ask me or discuss. But it's usually me giving. So, but I still do it. You know, I still, you know, talk to people all the time. But I think if you wanted to stand out, I would love for someone to reach out to me that like wants to coach me on something or give me their 30 minutes of free time, you know, give me some
right.
advice. You know, I would love that. I don't get that very often.
Yeah, but you're not going to take a phone call and say, hey, listen, Char, I was listening to you, and let me tell you 30 minutes of this.
It would start off by email first.
Maybe they'd send you a book in the mail and say, hey, I was listening to this, and this is really cool. You might want to flip through this someday and write it inside the cover or something.
Oh, I mean, that is it's very unique, and that would be really, really cool. It's for sure that someone would stand out. But like little things, like even you saying it's okay for your mission statement, if this is going to become a thing, it's okay for your mission statement to focus around socialization and not have this focus of saving the world. I mean, that is something I'm taking away from the time that you've given me today. And so I would love for people to have something. It doesn't mean I'm gonna do what you say, right? But I
Right.
would love for someone to connect with me to give me something, to
Yeah.
give me a word of advice or give
Right.
me, something like, hey, I started a 501(c) and
Gotcha.
here's some of the pitfalls that I had that I can maybe share with
Yeah.
you so you don't run into these obstacles
Yeah.
or whatever it is.
Someone may be giving something to you, and you would take cold hard cash.
Well, of course. I have a Zelle. You can email it to me.
Or send you a what is it, a Ben, what's a $100 bill, a Ben Benjamin? No, what's a $100 bill?
Mike, I'm not that cool.
I
I
see
don't
so few
know.
of them.
What do
I'm not sure if I've ever
they
had
call
one.
$100 bill? I don't know.
Do you ever get any written notes these days, like thank you notes or anything?
No, not occasionally.
Have any of those 80 people, did any of them write you a thank you letter?
Not a handwritten letter. Electronically, yes. I had people reach out to me and thank me, which, honestly, I don't need a thanks, for doing, what I did. But it was, I thought it was super nice for the people. And a couple of my closest friends called me and were like, this was amazing. It was nice to get a phone call, and it's always nice, when someone takes the time to thank you. And speaking of which, I had a drug company host us in December, and we specifically talked about, we did this talk about COPD in women and some of the biases that we encounter, and it was a really cool slide deck and very innovative topic. And I did take the time, and I think people should do this. I took the time and I asked that MSL who gave that talk what was her boss's email, and I said, I want to. This was very impactful, and I appreciate you guys hosting us. I want to email your boss and tell her thank you for you guys, doing such a great job. And I think that stands out to people that you, when you really are appreciative of something, to say something, not just complain.
I really love thank you emails because then you usually get one or two interactions going back where you email them and they might email you, and then you finish up with an email, you get that interaction. Really a pleasure talking to you, and I'm looking forward to keeping in touch.
Been great. Thank you for having me
All
on.
right, we'll talk again soon. You've been listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for all future episodes.